Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
If leaders are not thinking about how do you stay laser focused on that zone of genius where you can have the most impact, that is really what's game changing. Like, stop being the bottleneck, focus where you can have the most impact, and delegate and automate everything else away.
Today's guest is Madeline Niebauer, founder and co-CEO of VChief. In this episode, we're exploring what it really takes to build a scalable service business that doesn't depend on you doing all the work. Maddie shares her journey from being the expert delivering the service to becoming the architect of a thriving company and the mindset shifts that made it possible. We'll discuss the art of letting go, the strategic use of fractional talent, and how to identify what truly deserves your time as a leader. Maddie also reveals how community, coaching, and intentional support systems played a pivotal role in her growth, and why stopping yourself from becoming the bottleneck might be the most important skill you can develop. If you're ever wondering how to scale without burning out, or how to transition from solopreneur to CEO, this conversation will give you a fresh perspective on sustainable growth. Now let's welcome Maddie Niebauer. Maddie is a seasoned executive with 2 decades of experience across the private, public, and nonprofit sectors. Maddie spent 5 years as a chief of staff at Teach for America. She loved the fast-paced, ever-changing nature of the work and the ability to truly leverage a leader's time so they could be more productive and successful. She knew many leaders could benefit from this service on a part-time basis, which inspired her to launch VChief. Maddie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We have a lot of catching up to do, both you and I, and also for our audience. The last time you were on Smashing the Plateau, way back in 2017, was not that long after you had started VChief.
Yeah.
Right?
I was only about a year in at that point, yeah.
Right. And clearly, you know, things have evolved and you've done well. But let's go back to the beginning and just hear a little bit more about your career and what prompted you to start VChief.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of my career journey and arc, after college, I was in the Peace Corps for a couple of years in West Africa. And then I managed a tutoring center, went to business school. And then I was a strategy consultant at Bridgespan, which is a spinoff from Bain & Company that's focused on nonprofits and foundations. And then I became a chief of staff at Teach for America, and I loved that role. And in terms of like how that launched into VChief, I had the woman who I supported as a chief of staff for a number of years left to start a new nonprofit. And she wasn't ready for a full-time chief of staff because her company was just starting to grow. But she brought me on as sort of a side gig. And so I worked for her 5 to 10 hours a week. And that really was the spark that led me to start VChief, because she said, you know, I know a bunch of other recent founders who could use this type of thing. And initially I thought, well, I'll just go be a part-time chief of staff and have, you know, 3 or 4 clients. And then it became real clear once I started sort of shopping the idea around that this was bigger than just me having a handful of clients. And that's when I decided to build a company around it. And that was the beginning of VChief, which was 2016. So coming on 10 years at this point, which is pretty wild.
Yeah. Congratulations. So you—
Thank you.
Yeah. So you actually, you experienced product market fit in real time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was lucky to do that before I left my full-time role, so that I knew, you know, that there was a need and that we could fill it.
Yeah, which is something that many people aspire to achieve, because many don't have the luxury of trying to test something out part-time while they're working full-time and still getting compensation and benefits.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt really lucky to have that. That definitely gave me an on-ramp to take more risks than I would have otherwise, for sure.
Right. And so many people think they have a good sense of product market fit, and they try to do things related to growing and scaling and fall flat on their face. Clearly, that was not your experience. So I'd love to actually hear a little bit more about that process of going from what may have been a handful of clients of just you, and growing something that's much bigger than you.
Yeah, actually. And I feel really lucky that I had some bandwidth to grow the company. So I was still employed for the first few months that I was testing the idea and that I had this one client. And then my position was eliminated. So I was on severance for a handful of months, which meant that, you know, I had some income coming in. So then I could make the decision to not take on more clients myself. So my old boss is the only client I've ever personally served. And what I think that did was allowed me to really focus on the company and growing the company and becoming sort of a matchmaker of great talent with clients who needed that support instead of being a part-time chief of staff myself. So I did keep my first client for about a year. And then I realized I just couldn't be at someone's beck and call all the time. And as a chief of staff, you really need to be, right? You need to be responsive to the client that you're supporting. And I just needed to be able to fully focus on VChief and growing VChief. And so I shifted her to a different consultant. But because I had a little bit of a runway, I could take that risk, right? Like otherwise, I might have continued to take on more and more clients myself and then not had the time to really be strategic about what does VChief look like? How are we going to grow? How am I going to work on things like payroll and marketing and hiring and all the other pieces, right? If I was actively doing client work. And I think that was a real blessing that not everybody has. So that was, I was really lucky in that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it reminds me of like if you're familiar with the book, The E-Myth, and that whole framework. Mm. It talks about initially the business owner being the technician, right? Being the person who actually does the work, either whether it's a product or a service, does the work. And at some point they plateau because they can't take on any more.
Yep.
And I've seen this over and over again with members in our community and with consulting clients, that they struggle between running the business, serving clients, and trying to take on a CEO role. Yeah. What you're doing is you are inspiring others to do the work and you are connecting all the dots. Like in your case, right? In your case, being that bridge between the talent and the clients who need the talent.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other thing that's really tricky for especially people who go into some sort of like service-based consulting is that we're almost always building this on our own reputation, right? And so coming in and saying, I have this business and somebody else is going to work for you, right? Instead of like me coming in and doing the work. I think that can be a really tricky thing for new entrepreneurs to sort of like sell your expertise when you're not the one who's going to do that work, right? And I just got real lucky that I had the ability to not have to do that myself, right? So that then I could spend that time building the brand of the firm and just finding spectacular talent so that people saw they were just as good or better than what they would get from me.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, particularly for people who come out of a corporate background, mm-hmm. where they're used to selling the expertise and the expertise is themselves. They've had a long history of trying to sell themselves as the expert. Being able to let go of yourself as the expert and sell somebody else as the expert is a huge shift in your mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And in the early days, interestingly, my executive coach, anytime I would talk about the business and I would say I, she would correct me and be like, even if it's just you, you're going to say we. Every time you talk about it, it's we. And that was a really helpful mind shift.
Yeah. So, Maddie, at what point did you feel like, I don't want to build this business around me delivering the work. I want to build a company.
Yeah.
That's just, right? It's a big shift.
It is.
it sounds like you made that shift kind of early on.
Early. So I had been doing the work as a side gig for about 6 months. And it was actually before I formally launched VChief that I decided it was going to be a company, because I was reading the 4-Hour Work Week, which was very popular at the time. And it was all about like, don't just sell your time for money. And I was like, okay, great. I got to sell someone else's time for money. And so that was a really deliberate decision. And I think I took it on as a, we're going to try this and see how it goes and see if it pays the bills enough, right? Because if I were doing the work, I would get all the money. But someone else doing the work, I only get a smaller fraction of that money. And I needed to make sure that financially it was sustainable. So we had to have a decent number of clients to pull that off. So yeah, it was from the very beginning. And I honestly credit so much of our success to that, because, you know, I could really stay focused on the company rather than in the day-to-day work.
Yeah. How long do you feel like it took till you reached sustainability in a way that it would provide the kind of support you needed personally?
Yeah, it was within the first year. Absolutely. And I felt really, really lucky for that. I think, you know, over my career, I built a really great network across a lot of different companies and organizations in different industries. And honestly, like as you're starting a company, your network, both sort of your immediate network and then the next circle outside of it, is where you're going to find your first clients, right? Like you don't have money to be throwing at a ton of marketing to bring random strangers in. And those are the people who know your work. And so I was just really lucky that I was well connected to people and had maintained those relationships. And that really, like, all of our first clients were either people that I knew or people that, you know, the woman who I was supporting, my old boss, our first client, the people that she knew, or, you know, connections of connections. So, yeah.
And how long into the business did you get to the point where you needed marketing that would go beyond your networks?
Yeah, well, we started that in the very beginning too, but in a really light touch sort of way. So what I would say is I had a digital marketing guy who I met at a networking event. I was probably 4 months into VChief, and he approached me and said, you know, you said in this presentation that you're not doing much marketing. Would you be interested in my services? And I brought him on, and he was with us for 5 years, and he did the basic stuff, right? He made our website more SEO friendly. Like I had built our website in the first place, and he refined it and made it more SEO friendly. He tested some digital ads. He made a newsletter. I didn't want to spam people. And he's like, no, we're sending a newsletter. That's not optional. My marketing people tell me stuff all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. And they're like, you have to. Now it's, they want me to make videos all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to. And they're like, no, I don't care. Thank God for people who make us do the things we don't want to do. And so I would say we had a real sort of slapdash. Not that he wasn't great. He was very talented, but it was like he did it 5 hours a week as a side gig, right? And so then I would say we were probably 5-6 years in that we hired an outside marketing firm who actually like did all the things that marketing firms do, you know, like make our brand book and figure out our ideal customer profile and like figure out the different channels we're going to reach them and actually devote a lot more money towards marketing. And we've seen the results pay off, right? And now we're in the time where they're trying to figure out AI and how do we show up in all the ChatGPT results and things like that. And I think they're doing a pretty good job. I think it's still a little bit the Wild West, and even the marketing people are figuring out how to do that. But I think they're doing a pretty great job.
Yeah. So let's take a step back and talk about all these kinds of supports that you got along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were doing this again, would you do anything differently in terms of the kind of support you would seek out and bring on, and kind of in what sequence and how much?
That's a great question.
Because so many people know that marketing would benefit. They know that having an executive coach would benefit them. They know that being part of the right communities would benefit them. But there's only so much time that you have.
Yeah.
Right? You're really busy building your business very often.
And you only have so much money, right?
And you only have, I was going to get to that. Right? So the time is limited, money is limited. And if you're a business of one, which most of us are in the beginning, if you bring on somebody who's even let's say quarter time, that's a huge increase in your
total
comp, however you pay people. So what would you have done differently?
Actually, like, I'm not sure I would do that much differently. I'm really happy with the way that I did it. So everyone that I hired for the first 5 years was part-time, fractional, whatever. They were independent contractors. So the first person I hired was a bookkeeper because I looked at QuickBooks and I was like, I don't want to learn this. I know I could do it. I went to business school. Like, it wouldn't be that hard, but like, this is not my skill set. It's not something I love. It's never going to be something that I own. So I got rid of it immediately. I hired a girl who was sitting next to me at the co-working space, and she became a dear friend, and she was our accountant for 5 years. And then we hired another company to take over it. And now she's actually one of our consultants and she works with our clients. So it all comes full circle. So I was grateful to get rid of that. I also, I hired the digital marketing guy because I knew nothing about that. So I wasn't going to be able to do that myself. So it was sort of like, what are the things I don't want to do or I'm not good at or don't have the expertise or the things that are like taking up all of my time in ways that I don't feel like are aligned with what I want to be focused on. So the third one that I hired was someone to do interviewing because like we needed a pool of talent. But to get that pool of talent, I had to talk to a lot of people. And I just found like I was on the phone all the day with candidates. And I was like, this is not the best use of my time. So I hired someone to do that. And we operated for a long time like that. And then I hired a blog writer because that was like the thing on the bottom of the to-do list that I was never going to do. Even though, again, I could write, but I just wasn't getting it done. So a lot of it was just identifying like, this is the way I think I should be spending my time, which is like sales, getting the word out, brand building, all of those things, meeting with clients. And everything else that was outside of that, I was like, how can I hire just the right amount of this to get us through, right? So that it doesn't take that much resources. So, you know, we provide fractional staffing and talent to other companies. And that is what I use to build this company. And so I think it's kind of this beautiful full circle thing. I also got an executive coach very early, which was just happenstance because, as I said, my position was eliminated at my organization and they offered this like outplacement coaching. And at that point, I knew I wasn't looking for a job. So I didn't need that kind of help. But I was like, well, maybe I'll just meet with her and see if she knows how to build a business and like get into LinkedIn or whatever. And amusingly, the woman who I started working with was in the middle of launching her own executive coaching company. And so I was like her first executive coaching client. And we sort of bartered. She was like, I will coach you for free for 6 months. If when we're done with it, you will recommend me to people. And then if you're making money at that point, you can start paying me. And I did. And then I paid her for like another 5 years of being my coach. And so it really like was kind of a smart move on her front and also for me. And she's referred us dozens of clients over the years. So, and has become a good personal friend of mine too. So it all worked out really great. What would I do differently? I do think I probably would have started building our internal team a little bit sooner. So what really changed the game for us on that front was I hired one of our actual consultants who worked with clients to lead our business development efforts. So she came in and she wrote a business development plan. And then she started recruiting a sales team. And she had worked in sales before, so she knew all these people and had worked with them. And so she just sort of built that team from the ground up. And then we had needs in other areas. So she sort of took on another team and another team. And now she's my co-CEO and she runs the place. So that worked out well. I think I would have done that maybe a year or two sooner had I known that it was going to be as successful as it was, right? Like before you go hiring W-2 people who you're going to have to keep that payroll and you have to have enough revenue to be sure that you're going to be able to pay them all the time. I mean, I actually hired her as a 1099 too for the first maybe 6 months or something. And then we hired her full time and we just grew so fast over a period of time just after COVID, like 2021, 2022, that we went from like me and a handful of contractors to like 20 full-time staff. It was bonkers and fun, but also a little bit crazy. So
yeah. What was the trigger just after COVID that led to that rapid growth?
You know, honestly, I think it's two things. I think it was one, us being deliberate about growth, right? Like hiring people to do the work. But I think two, it was just this moment in time where a lot of companies were gun shy about hiring full-time people because, you know, it was a really uncertain time in COVID. there was still all this work to get done. And so our model was just really well suited to that moment in time, right? And I think staffing in general, like, really skyrocketed during that time. Like, we've generally followed industry trends, which is like 2021, 22 were really high, and then things dipped in 2023. I think the staffing industry actually went down again in 2024 and 2025. We dipped a little and then came back up again. So, you know, like, it's a little bit of a roller coaster since then. But again, like, there's been so much uncertainty. And, you know, the past year has been a lot of uncertainty for a lot of industries, just given everything that's going on with tariffs and other things at the government level. A lot of nonprofits lost their funding, other things like that. So, yeah, that I think is what helped contribute to the growth.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. I'd love to shift and talk about a specific kind of support.
Yeah.
Which is support that you get through community. What has your experience been with various community participation, community leadership? What have you tried? What's worked well? What hasn't worked so well?
This has been a huge part of my journey, honestly. I think partially because I'm a real people person and I process verbally. And so it's really helpful to have people to bounce ideas off of or learn from. So even from the earliest days before I even started my company, I joined a co-working space. I went to a lot of different events with expert speakers. That's how I figured out what kind of legal structure I was going to have. And, you know, I found my lawyer and learned about all sorts of, like, insurance. What am I supposed to, like... You know, were a lot of things through my co-working space and through a handful of networking groups here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm located. So that was how I started. And then over time, I have tried other various bigger networking groups. So there's one called Chief that's for women executives. I joined that. I also joined EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. EO proved to be the one that was the real game changer for me. So I joined the chapter in Chicago, which means I have to drive like 2.5 hours every time I go to a meeting or an event. So you can tell that it's like meaningful and useful to me, because that's like 5 hours of driving in order to go to anything. And I have a forum of 8 other business owners. And what I love about EO is, like, there are requirements to get in. So your business has to, for our chapter, have at least $1 million in revenue. And what that meant was leaders are coming with the same sorts of challenges, right? Like, we are all kind of going through different things at different moments in time, but we can really share experiences with each other and help each other problem solve in ways that I couldn't necessarily with leaders whose businesses might be significantly smaller, which I think was more of the networks that I was in, you know, before that point. So I've been really grateful for that, both for, like, that forum I meet with once a month. We talk through all our challenges, any big issues that I'm coming up that I really need to, like, toss around some ideas. That's the group that I do it with. And, you know, both on, like, a personal level and a business level. That, I think, EO in particular, you know, there's lots of other CEO networking groups, but I think what's unique about EO is, like, sort of a focus on both business and personal and about getting deep really quickly. So, like, these people know everything about my life in the best kind of way, right? And vice versa. And so that has been hugely impactful. And so I know a lot of people in my Chicago chapter, but I also have gone to events like conferences with people from all over the States and all over the globe. And they also do, like, fun trips. I went on a yacht in Croatia for a week with other entrepreneurs from EO from all over the world. So that was super fun. I'd lost the tip of my finger on a boat ladder, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah, but it like, that has been really, really impactful to me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And really congratulations on everything that's been part of your journey since the last time you were on.
Yeah.
Before we close out, is there anything else you want to share that we haven't discussed?
You know, I would just say, like, as leaders are thinking about growing and building their businesses and really, like, smashing the plateau, if you will, I think the biggest thing is for leaders is, like, figure out how to stop being the bottleneck, right? Like, we are often the bottleneck. And it's often because we are holding on to too many things that we should let someone else do. So, like, what I do with clients is help them think about, or what we do, I should say, I don't actually do this, help them think about their priorities and how they should be spending their time. Like, what is the intersection of, like, what do you love? what are you good at and what is going to move the business forward? And like, how do you really laser-like focus on being in that intersection? And how do you get rid of all the other things that are on your plate, all the fire drills on a day-to-day basis, et cetera? You know, our solution to that is fractional support, like part-time, not only chiefs of staff, we've actually grown to do COO and CFO and integrator and HR business partner. So like, that is something that we've done more of, but also, you know, how do you use technology? How do you automate things? What does AI mean in your company? And that is not an area of expertise. We have lots of organizations we partner with who do that. We do create systems and create some automation for clients, but we are by no means the AI experts. But I do think, like, if leaders are not thinking about how do you stay laser focused on that zone of genius where you can have the most impact, that is really what's game changing. Like, stop being the bottleneck, focus where you can have the most impact, and delegate and automate everything else away. And honestly, like, that's the other thing that I'm really proud about, is that I have grown this company without burning myself out and without burning my team out. We have a 4-day work week for our central team. Our consultants can choose how many hours they work. I have, on average, worked less than 25 hours a week on this company, and we've hit the Inc. 5000 list 5 times. So, like, I think it's a system that works.
Love that.
Thank you.
Maddie, if someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today,
yeah,
learn more about you, learn more about your company, access any resources that you might have, where's the best place to go?
Yeah. So for the company, we are called, our website is vchiefs.com. And then you can find us on all the social platforms. Just search VChief and you'll find us. I am Madeline Tregidgen Niebauer on social media all over the places. So you can find me there. LinkedIn's a great way to connect. Yeah. So we'd love to stay in touch with people.
All good.
Thank you.
Maddie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. Give us a wonderful update, share lots of great insights. My guest today has been the founder and co-CEO of VChief, Maddie Niebauer. Thank you, Maddie, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really great to be here.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.